Welcome to The Apple Seed, where we bring you and your family great stories from great storytellers. On today's episode, we'll hear a story from Simon Brooks.
There's no such thing as a perfect wife. It's just, no, there is, I matter.
And a ballad from Motoko.
He stood behind the curtain, everything uncertain, but what he saw.
Finally, a little music and storytelling from Josh Goforth.
When maybe you've been with your partner for a long time and, you know, they got those habits you can't stand, like maybe snoring.
I'm your host, Sam Payne, and today's stories are all about the challenges of love. After all, Shakespeare said the course of true love never did run smooth. If you're looking for love, perhaps you will find some sound advice in today's stories. And we're going to start with a story from Simon Brooks, a storyteller raised in the UK, but who now lives in New Hampshire. In fact, he lives in New London, New Hampshire. That's an appropriate place for a guy who was raised in the UK to move, right? Simon's story features Nasreddin Hoxha, a popular character in Middle East folk stories. He's known for being kind of foolish and simple, but also wise underneath it all. Maybe you know characters like that. That's the kind of character that crops up in storytelling traditions all over the world. And in this story, Nasreddin Hoxha has an opportunity to give advice to some friends. And as you listen to the advice he gives, what do you think? Do you think the Hoxha is wise or foolish when it comes to love? Here's Simon's story. It's called Hoxha Seeks a Wife, and we recorded it live in the Appleseed studio.
Welcome. This story comes from the Middle East. I don't know if you've heard of Nasreddin Hoxha. He is known as the foolish wise man. And his humor is known for being very smart and intellectual. And this is a story about the Hoxha. Now, the Hoxha at this particular point in his life, he wasn't married. But he wasn't young either. And he and his male friends were down at the cafe drinking that thick Turkish coffee. You know, the kind that puts hair on the palm of your hands, right? They're sitting down there and they're talking about everything that's going on in the world. But then they start to disparage their wives. They start to nitpick about the kind of people that they are, the things that they can't do. And the Hoxha says, no. These women, they live with you. Do not put them down. Respect these people who have chosen to be with you for the rest of their lives. Well, what do you know, Hoxha? You're not married. I know I'm not married, but you shouldn't. Yeah, Hoxha, you've never been married. How do you know? It's like you should respect women. There's no such thing as the perfect wife. There is. But you're not married. How do you know? Because I met her. I will tell you the story. And so the Hoxha took another sip of that thick, thick Turkish coffee and set the cup down and said, I realized at some point in my life a few years ago that I should be married. There are many things that I can do for myself, that there are many things that I cannot do for myself. And so I went to find a woman who would compliment me. Obviously, if I was going to choose someone to live with me for the rest of my life, I would need to find someone that appealed to my eyes. Oh, yes, that's true. And I wanted someone to be the same or similar intellect to myself so we can have conversations long into the night, long into our grey years. Well, yeah, that's true. And as you gentlemen know, I cannot cook, so it would behoove myself to find a woman who could cook. Otherwise, we would just starve to death. Yeah. But you're describing the perfect woman. There's no such person as that. No, Hoxha, there's no such thing as a perfect wife. He says, no, there is. I met her. Well, come on, tell us then. Well, I went to Baghdad, and by the time I got there, it was late at night, and I knocked on the house where I knew this woman was living with her parents, and so they showed me in that the candlelight was dim and the atmosphere was beautiful, and we had wonderful conversations, and there were things that we shared in common, and the food, which most of it she had cooked, not all of it, but most of it, was delectable. And then, as I was leaving, they turned up one of the lights, and I saw her, and I'm sure she was attractive to someone, but not to myself. You see, Hoxha, there's no such thing. No, there is. For there was another woman that I met, and when I met her, she was beautiful. The food that she cooked was delectable. and at first she didn't say very much. But as the evening wore on, she began to talk, and talk, and talk, and talk, and talk, and talk, and talk. You see, Hodger, there's no such thing as the perfect... But wait, wait, wait. The third woman that I met, she lived in Alexandria. And I met her, it was late afternoon, and we walked along the seacoast with her parents walking behind us, and her hair, long, dark, wavy hair, was flowing about her. Her lips were full, her eyes were huge, brown pools of divineness. When I was welcomed into their home, and I was fed, the food was like heaven was dissolving on my mouth, and she had cooked everything. And the conversations that we had, well... She introduced me to poets that I'd never heard of before. We talked long, long, long into the night, chaperoned, of course, by her parents. Well, Hodger, why didn't you marry her? Well, you see, I was seeking the perfect wife, and it seems that she was seeking the perfect husband.
That was Simon Brooks with Hodja Seeks a Wife. And the story that Simon told strikes me as a story about the difference between paying attention to what you want and paying attention to what you are. And when I heard the story, a memory struck me. It's a memory about my son. When he was in junior high, he came to me one day feeling kind of low. And when I asked him if he wanted to tell me about it, he didn't know exactly how to explain how he was feeling. So, to find the words he needed, he turned to one of his favorite stories, the story of the Lord of the Rings. And that story has somewhere near its center, of course, the quest of the hobbit Frodo Baggins to dispose of Sauron's magic ring in the volcanic fires of Mount Doom. Frodo is the unlikely hero of that epic tale, assisted in his dangerous quest by humans and wizards and elves and dwarves and more, but helped and supported by no one in a greater way than by his faithful hobbit friend, Samwise Gamgee. My son had discovered the story of their adventure, Frodo and Samwise and their company of heroic friends, in night after night of read-aloud magic between him and me. And so maybe it should have been no surprise that he used that story to talk about his feelings. We had just moved to a new home, and he was still getting to know the people around him. Didn't have a lot of close friends yet, and he was feeling a little lonely. I just want someone to be my Samwise, is how he put his feelings of loneliness as he spoke to me. Well, as we talked, it became clear that my son really identified with Frodo Baggins, the story's hero, and he was longing for someone to support him at the center of his own story in the way that Frodo had been supported at the center of his. And as the conversation unfolded between me and my son, we found ourselves talking a bit about the importance of not only wanting a Samwise, but also of being a Samwise to someone else. Sometimes, we decided, it's as much about being a loyal friend as it is about having one. Now, that's a conversation that benefited him, I think, but it's also benefited me as the relationships in my own life have unfolded. I'm glad there was a story that helped my son and me talk about this. That's one of the things stories are very best at, giving us the words we need to have the conversations we need to have, conversations for which we don't have words of our own. And I thought of it again as Simon Brooks told his funny, wise Nasreddin story about the difference between paying attention to what you want and what you are. That's where the story took me. Where will it take you, and who will you take along?
We hope you're enjoying this podcast from BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of In Good Faith, an interfaith podcast committed to listening as believers of many traditions share their personal experience with the sacred and the divine. And we've just dropped our 200th episode. Why not take a moment to check out In Good Faith at byuradio.org or wherever you get your podcasts? I think you'll be inspired by our amazing guests sharing first-person accounts of the power of faith and belief on the In Good Faith podcast.
We're glad you've joined us on the Appleseed, and we're ready for another story. Motoko, a storyteller from Massachusetts, will share a musical version of the story, The Crane Wife. Now, in this traditional Japanese folktale, a lonely woodsman finds and marries a beautiful woman, and they're happy but very poor. And she offers to weave some beautiful cloth if he promises not to ever look into the room where she is weaving. Eventually, of course, the woodsman breaks his promise. How can he resist? And he uncovers a surprise. Will their love survive his broken promise? This story was set to music by Motoko's partner, Eshu Bumpus, who joins her on the live recording we captured in the Appleseed studio.
One time, this was a while back, I was at a storytelling conference where I attended a workshop by this storyteller named Granny Sue, and she was a wonderful Appalachian ballad singer. So she was singing all these beautiful ballads one after another, and many of the people in the workshop knew the ballads and they were singing along with her. And I was just there feeling bad that I did not have a ballad, an Appalachian ballad in my repertoire. So I went home and said to my partner, Eshu, write me a Japalachian ballad. So this is what he wrote for me. It's an old Japanese folk tale, and the music comes from, again, a traditional melody called Kokiri Kobushi. The story is a famous one. It's called The Crane Wife. Each gentle snowflake, perfect as can be, melts and passes, as will always be. Sad would it be for a wounded crane, watching her sisters as they fly south. Sad would it be for a lonely woodsman in his passing youth. In the woods he found her, kindness bound her, past winter safely in his care. When she was well, he watched her free as she soared into the air. Each gentle snowflake, perfect as can be, melts and passes, as will always be. Sadly, he turned back to his shack, back to his lonely life once more. Morning found a lovely maiden standing at his door. Where he had once been sad and lonely, now his days were filled with love. How could he understand this fortune given from above? Each gentle snowflake, perfect as can be, melts and passes, as will always be. Though love was plenty, cupboards empty, hunger could soon make passion fade. I can weave, said the lovely maiden, fortune will be made. Though there was so much she gave freely, one thing she refused to share. While I am weaving, you must promise not to look in there. Each gentle snowflake, perfect as can be, melts and passes, as will always be. All through the night she toiled weaving, as she wove she softly wept. He could not hold her nor console her, the promise must be kept. Morning came, her toil was ended, now their fortune could be made. Such was the beauty of this fabric, much gold would be paid. Each gentle snowflake, perfect as can be, melts and passes, as will always be. Once again their joy was boundless, hearts entwined in a perfect blend. Once again, as time must pass, all thing comes to an end. I will weave just one more time, but promise not to ask again. Also remember to keep your promise not to look within. Each gentle snowflake, perfect as can be, melts and passes, as will always be. Nights without sleeping, anguished weeping, chilled him till his blood ran cold. If such a pain was the price of weaving, what good would be gold? How could she expect him to take it? He made a promise, but he had to break it. He stood behind the curtain, everything uncertain. But what he saw was not what he expected to see. Eyes deceiving, not believing what he saw in the weaving loom. There stood a beautiful snow-white crane, weaving feathers in the loom. Each gentle snowflake, perfect as can be, melts and passes, as will always be. Love was a reason, gone our season, now to my home I must return. Now we have lost and paid the cost, though love will always yearn. Off did she fly with no goodbye, sailing away into heaven's gleam. Long did he grieve, trying to believe it was more than just a dream. There on the loom, in her weaving room, sat a cloth worth a young man's weight in gold. But no matter what the rich man offered, it never would be sold. Sharing our love, we can weave our lives into a fabric of great beauty. But one promise broken can soon unravel the greatest tapestry. Each gentle snowflake, perfect as can be, melts and passes, as will always be.
That was Motoko and Eshubumpus with The Crane Wife. Love can be complicated, can't it? If you've taken some knocks on the bumpy road to love, take heart. Josh Goforth may just have a simple answer to some of those complications. Here's Josh and his original song called I Love You for Who You Are.
Well, I live in Asheville, North Carolina. home to some wonderful art and food and music, and also the Biltmore House, which you haven't seen, and I recommend you go check it out. The Biltmore House was built by the Vanderbilt family, actually George Vanderbilt in particular. Now, I have to say that Asheville wasn't always the artsy town it is now. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, when I was a kid, there was a sushi restaurant that came to Asheville. It was the first sushi restaurant in Asheville, and they served hush puppies with the sushi. That's true. But if you come to Asheville, you got to, of course, check out the food and the music and the arts, but you also have to check out the Biltmore House. And I'd like to sing a song that I wrote because I read a book about the Vanderbilt family. And the book is called Fortune's Children, and in the book, they talk about all the money they had. Now, these are folks that had everything you could imagine. They would spend $40,000 in the late 1800s for just flower arrangements for a party. Can you imagine that kind of money? They built massive mansions with the finest European art and sculptures. And they had conservatories and exotic plants in them. And they had vast gardens and tracts of land. I mean, it was just unbelievable wealth. But in the book, they were mostly pretty unhappy, which shows you that happiness isn't always tied in to how much you got. And I think one of the reasons that they were so unhappy is because they were so expected to stay within their social class, not just for friends, but for marriage, for everything. If they were friends with someone or fell in love with someone, they had to be in their social class. And that just didn't make them very happy. And I thought, what a wonderful gift it is to be able to love somebody for exactly who they are. They ain't got to be nobody. They don't have to have $1 million, and they don't have to play the guitar. They can just be exactly who they are, and you love one. Maybe you've been with your partner for a long time, and, you know, they got those habits you can't stand, like maybe snoring, or maybe, you know, burping at the table or something like that. And, you know, there's all those little things, but we kind of look past those kind of things because why? Because we love them for who they are. They don't have to be anybody else. And so I wrote this song called I Love You For Who You Are that includes the Vanderbilt family in it. First time that we chanced to meet, you smiled and my heart skipped a beat. That summer night in our hometown, the crickets were singing and the moon shone down on a world that had been unkind. Stole your heart and your peace of mind. Dreams and wishes come and go, but there's one thing you should know. Well, I love you for who you are. You don't have to be a movie star, and you don't have to drive a fancy car, make $1 million or play the guitar, 'cause I love you for who you are. By my side or in lands afar, right on the mark or below the bar, I love you for who you are. Vanderbilt had a big fine home. Kubla Khan built a pleasure dome. Einstein found relativity, but I found you and you found me. And we don't need a mansion grand on 100-acre piece of Xanadu land, 'cause I love you till the end of time, whether you're rich or don't have a dime. Now, I have to say I'm probably the only feller from Western North Carolina that's ever written a song with the word Xanadu in it. Because I love you for who you are. You don't have to be a movie star, and you don't have to drive some fancy car, make $1 million or play the guitar, 'cause I love you for who you are. By my side or in lands afar, right on the mark or below the bar, I love you for who you are. Well, not quite on track, baby, right on par, I love you for who you are.
That was Josh Goforth, recorded live in the Appleseed studio with his original song, I Love You for Who You Are. And that seems like a good note to end on. We hope today's stories by Simon Brooks, Motoko, and Josh Goforth spark some insights for you as you chart your own course through love. But wherever your course takes you, we hope you take stories along. After all, at the Appleseed, we believe that sharing and listening to great stories can change your family's world.
The Appleseed is produced by Wendy Folsom,
Sam Payne,
and Brian Tanner.
Our audio engineers are Ashton Parkinson
and Carly Wilson.
The rest of the Appleseed team is Kelly Wehrmeister,
Trent Horton,
Evadane Hendricks,
Miriam Isaac,
and Tristan Schetzel.
A special thanks to the subscribers of our podcast who rate us or leave reviews.
You help people find the show.
We also love to receive emails at theappleseed@byu.edu.
Your thoughts and comments help us to shape the future of the Appleseed.
We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family.
And you can find episodes of the Appleseed wherever podcasts are found, on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org/appleseed.
I'm Sam Payne, and the whole team can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.